Voice of Reason Broadcast Network presents The Heretics Hour with Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn Yeager brings you news and commentary on Holocaust revisionism, World War II history, free speech issues, and more. And now, here's Carolyn.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this special daytime live broadcast of the Heretics Hour on Voice of Reason Radio. I am Carolyn Yeager in Texas, connected with my special guest, Günter Deckert, who is in Germany, where it is now 10 p.m. Günter has been on this program several times in the past, and is the best person I know to give us the lowdown on events in Central Europe from a healthy right-wing perspective. Thus, we have made this time adjustment for the December 5th program only in order to speak with him live, which means you will be able to call and talk to him yourself beginning 1 hour from now, as this program runs 2 hours, as most of you know. Our toll-free phone number is 1-855-477-2283. Before we talk to Günter, let me give you some information on him. Very briefly, Günter Deckert is a well-known German nationalist from the historic Heidelberg area of Baden-Württemberg, an area whose history he knows well. He had a successful career as a teacher until he got involved in right-wing politics, for which he was eventually forced out of teaching. He was the leader of the National Democratic Party of Germany from 1991 to 1996. What ended that was that in April 1995, after being persecuted with some political trials, he was sentenced to 2 years in prison without probation. While in prison, he was charged with the new crime of incendiarism based on a letter he wrote from prison to a Jew suggesting Jews should voluntarily leave Germany. For that, Günter was sentenced to 2 more years plus 3 months, and there may have been a little more time added onto that, because I think he was incarcerated for over 5 years. But since then, Günter has continued to speak up for what he believes, to keep up with contacts all over the world, and he continues to be persecuted for it. Thanks, and welcome, Günter. Thanks for being here.
Yes, good evening. Hello to everybody.
All right. Before we get started, now, did I see anything there that was wrong?
No, everything was okay.
Okay, all right. Now, before we get started about your current difficulties with the justice system, I want to mention your book, and you did tell me right before we got on the air that it is still available. You could say it in German, but the English translation is The Mannheimer Heretical Trials, and it is... The incitement to public uproar, whatever. It's the trials against Ernst Zündel, Germar Rudolf, and Sylvia Stoltz that took place between 2005-2009, and you attended, and you wrote reports about it, and you have a lot of commentary on it. And so this book is in German, but also has English parts to it, as far as I understand. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, tell people if they would like to get a copy of it, how they can order it.
Well, as to the English version, there is a whole one. There are only parts of my reports translated by a friend in Texas, and some reports are published in the First Freedom paper. But the book on as a whole is not yet translated into English. And the German version, which only had a small... number of copies is sold out.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, it's a question of money, since every time, if there will be a second publication. I will check that.
Okay.
So, people interested may go to the First Freedom. As far as I remember, most of the reports are still stored there, and most of them had been published in the First Freedom.
Okay.
I have got all those English translations made by a Texan, James Damon. Maybe he has all my reports stored in his computer. I don't know.
Yes, but he Texan can't. He can't be sending them out.
They've also been finished more than a year ago, and it was not quite clear if what I had reported from inside the court building in Mannheim was what I call kosher, that's not punishable, based on the famous German Penal Code 113. But up to now, no problems so far. So in my first session, new session, Mannheim Law Court, the prosecutor, Grossmann, had my, I call it the black book, the Mannheim Herring trials, on his table and going through it. Maybe he's preparing a new accusation, I don't know so far. But up to the present, no problems with the publication of that book.
Gunter, there's some noise going on. It sounds like it might be your headset. Is it? Are you moving it around, or is anything being bumped or cut? Well, right now you are.
Ah, yes. No, better yesterday. Okay. All right. It's better now.
Well, I hope so. It's a sound. You know, every little thing makes a lot of noise when we're on Skype. So,
that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about what you've been going through first. Tell the listeners why you're back in court. Weren't you back in court just recently? And what happened? What the future is?
More than a year ago, I was contacted by the British publishing house Castlefield Publishers. If I was ready to have a look at what I would call a torso fragments of a translation into German of Carlo Mattonio's research book, La Primera Gazione, The First Auschwitz, The First Gassings. And I had a look at it. I finished the German version. And before it went into the printing press, I contacted several lawyers, asking them if I will have problems again when my name will appear as a part of the team who finished the German translation. They said, no, but you have to make clear that you don't accept, that you don't share the conclusions of the writings of Madonna. I did so, but in Germany, things are quite strange, and I had the police at home more than 1 year ago. They took away my computer. I got it back. Not in order. I had to buy a new one. And I was accused before the Weinheim Law Court. It's the first instance in Germany. And I was fined €600 plus the cost of the trial and 4 months of prison, but not its Bewährung. I don't remember English term. I have to go, but it's 4 months, and in the period of 3 years. That means if in this period of 3 years I will have another accusation, I will have to go to prison. I think it's bailout or things like that.
So you don't have to go to prison unless you do something else that they Then you'll have to go and serve that sentence.
Yes, and well, I appealed, and now the appeal court is the famous Mannheim Landgericht, the Mannheim District Law Court, where all those trials against Zündel, Rudolf, and Stolz took place. And my first session was on November 14th. It didn't last a long time, less than 3 hours. The second was a week ago, and the third is now on the 13th of December. There will be a force in the new year. The same is, I am now accused of having made it possible that a German version of Mattonio's book, which had been published in 1992 in Italy and in 2002, I think, in the States and in England, if this will judged as what is called here, aid to of agitation of the people or a support of incitement to public uproar, to the racial hate and things like that. All things incorporated in the German Penal Code of the paragraph 1.13. But
yeah.
There's one problem for the prosecutor. In order that the deed, the crime, is regarded as accomplished, as finished, they have to prove that there are more than three copies sold or to be found in Germany. That's a problem. Up to now, they've only got three copies. One, yes, one ordered by an undercover agent in England, by the German Protection Service of the Constitution, which is a shame. A second one was found in the letterbox of an assistant professor at the University of Bamberg in Upper Franconia. And the third they got from my library when they searched my home a year ago. If they can't prove that there are more than three copies around in Germany, I will have to be acquitted as non-guilty, as not guilty. And the leading judge, the presiding judge, seems to look for that, I would say, outcome. Isn't so far very, very polite. It's not the same character as his famous Meyer Tagen in the Sündel trial, but you never know. What is inside him, what is going, what is his point of view, what he is trying to see. My problem in his person is he's too young, means in his mid-40s, and if he wants to climb up the ladder of the career, he must judge me, he must accept or he must confirm the trial of the first instance. If he is rather objective and he has the guts, shows courage, he may say, well, there's no proof that more than three copies are handled, are sold, circle in Germany, and the gut must be acquitted. Well, let's see what's been the outcome on December 13th or maybe in the early days of the next year.
You know, this book has not been actually sold. It's not being sold in stores or anything like that.
Can't be. Everything having to do with what is called the Holocaust or the Shoah can't be publicly ordered or sold in Germany. You must get the address via internet, via Google, any research machine, and you must order it directly abroad. Mm-hmm. Anybody who orders it right on a Germany will commit a crime. So, adult people are allowed to have even books that are forbidden, that are dangerous, but you must offer them, you must give an eye a hint where to get them. All this is regarded as a crime, based on this famous paragraph 130 of the German Penal Code.
Right. So anyway, they haven't been able to find, well, they have to go and search people's homes.
Yes,
to find
yes.
this book.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I don't know, would that even be allowable, that they could actually search somebody on such a suspicion for something like that?
They sure have what you call a watch list, I would say. Those, the thought police or the political police sure has a list, but up to the present, it's not as easy to search a home without a concrete idea that the person in question might have an example. And even if, say, find one, that is not a crime. If he has a second one, that's a crime, because they say, or they've heard it, that he wants to sell it, that he wants to give it away, and then it is a public action.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Quite strange, it's quite clear, it's quite crazy, but that just is a German situation, actually.
Well, it is crazy. It is crazy, and we're getting closer here in the United States to the same kind of craziness, and that's why we're talking about all this, and we need to talk about it. Well, let's go on now. Then it looks like you might be safe, and you might not have to go back to prison.
Well, even my wife has already accepted that. I may go into prison for another 4 months, but what are 4 months compared to 60? I did in the 90s. Well, so far, must.
Yeah, well, it's not much, but you should. But you shouldn't have to. And I think it's very interesting that they can't even find any copies of this book.
Yeah.
That you're supposed to be so dangerous.
But
in
I'm sure there are more copies around Germany, but only bought by universities. For example, policeman, a prosecutor, a judge who buys it, that's not a public action, because they buy it on professional reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A policeman who buys it doesn't commit a crime. He wants to see if the book is kosher or not. Mm-hmm. And a professor, for example, sure, I think all those important German faculties of modern philology and history will have bought a book in England. They know where to order it. But normal people are not allowed to do that. Normal people commit a crime. A professor, a politician, a prosecutor, a policeman doesn't commit a crime. He only wants to be informed what is going on, what is the content of this
mm-hmm.
book.
Yeah,
and
well.
To enter into action. And if, for example, now they search a home and they find a book, well, they are happy, sure.
Yeah.
It's like in the Middle Ages, Inquisition.
Well, this leads us right into the current attempt to ban all right-wing activity in Germany, and especially they're talking about the NPD, the party, the National Democratic Party of Germany. Is that the right way to translate that? What does NPD actually stand for? National Party Deutschland or National Party Demokratica?
I would say it's the Nationalist Party of a greater Germany than the Federal Republic of today.
Okay.
That's one aspect. The second is the party standing for a German Germany, not an exotic one. You say Germany, yes. No, German land, yes. Deutschland, German land, yes. Exotic land, no. We don't want, well, what we call people from all over the world only living on our taxes. The second is, and sure, a nationalist party must be a social party as well, because it tries to represent the people in all its classes, workers, teachers, professors, entrepreneurs, and things like that. That is social or socialist to some extent. That depends how you interpret it. That national, Germany as German, and sure, a normal party is only a party who is a revision, to revise the actual frontiers in the East, for example.
To revise the what in the East?
The frontiers.
Okay.
To revision of the actual frontiers between, for example, Germany and Czechoslovakia, Germany and
oh, the frontiers, the borders. What are you doing?
Pardon?
What are you doing? You're moving something around.
Yes, it's the heads are going down. Oh, kind of.
It's making a lot of noise.
Yeah. It's not the best I had. Okay. It's not better. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's, and the problem of the NPD actually is the problem linked to what was called 2 weeks ago by the leading German magazine, The Spiegel, the Brown Army Fraction, trying to understand the readers that this Brown Army Fraction of three idiots, in my mind, can be compared with the Red Army Fraction of the 70s, a real, anarchist, communist, and band, gang, having good contacts into the system, trade unions, Social Democratic Party, and even the Protestant Church. They had a lot of supporters in the media as well, be it television, be it printed media. And those, what they call the Zwickau Group. Zwickau is a small town in Western Saxony, known because the Volkswagen is produced, some cars of the Volkswagen are produced. And it's impossible to compare those two movements or groups. As I put it, not to be compared is the network around the Red Army Fraction and not what they call the Brown Army Fraction. And the media, be it printed one, TV or radio, in their comments are rather either absurd or vague. And every day, they publish new facts that don't fit together, as we call it. They passen nicht zusammen. It's the facts don't match. For example, these three youngsters. Now, the lady who survived, or the woman in her mid-30s, is said to have been an undercover agent of the Protection Service of the Constitution. And you must see, we have here in Germany, it's much smaller country than the states are, a supervision of right-wingers, which is, I would say, more than 100%. All those who are active, who are known in the public, are in the special lists, in the watch list of the Protection Service of the Constitution. And though it's very strange to understand that those three could act between, between 13 years without being caught by the police.
That's right. Now, Germany is so much smaller than the U.S. I think it's something like the size of the state of Washington.
Yes,
I'm trying to remember if I'm wrong, but it's really very small compared. It's like the size of one of our larger states.
The police, which is very well, that is very well organized, couldn't lay a hand on them. They could have killed, some foreigners, or even they had broken in 20 banks. Never caught, which is very, very unusual. And therefore, it's a kind of, let's say, I put an English word in it. People think there is more behind all that than is known to the public up to the present. Connections with, let's say, undercover agents. Connections even with a non-German, what do you call it, like the CIA.
Gunter, you're making a crunchy sound, like you're crunching a bag of potato chips, smashing. What is all that? It's real loud. Well, it's loud for me. I don't know how it is for if.
No, it's fine. I do understand your mouth.
No, me, but you're. I hear all this sound coming from you, but I'm not sure if it's coming across for everybody or it's just I. But it's terrible. What are you doing?
No.
I'm sitting before my computer.
And I have a sheet of paper in my hands. That's maybe.
Oh yes.
I think okay.
That might be it.
Yes. Once again.
Your mic is scraping against something.
I see. It's, yes. Okay. Well,
maybe your mic is moving on your headset is moving on your head. Anyway, you have to watch that.
This group of three, two young men in their mid-30s a woman. Well, now called the Zwickau group. I told you it's a small town in Western Saxony, and the leftist leading media, above all the Spiegel, try to create a new brown army fraction, a terror network inside the population. But all those, the voters, they've caught so far, found out so far, are unknown people, are often people without work, jobless people. No connection with the system, no connection with the police, the banks,
the big parties, the churches, the trade unions.
Therefore, it's what they call escape. They create a scapegoat. But by building up that scapegoat, this brown power network, they try to ban the NPD, stating that there are links between some supporters of this brown terrorist network with the National Democratic Party, which is wrong. Because if other criminals are caught, for example, nobody inquires which is their political or what are their categories and which party they belong to. They mean criminals who belong to the SPD, to the Liberals, and never say, well, he's a member of the CDU, he's a member of the Liberal Party, or he's elected when he, for example, kills a person or is a bank robber, things like that. Now,
I think that is another topic.
Okay, hold on a minute, Gunter, yeah. Because the sound, your sound is going back and forth between two different sounds, and it's just, it's almost impossible to make out what you're saying. And we're going to have to figure out what is wrong with your mic. But let me just reiterate here a little bit that is this correct to say that they are dreaming up, they're playing up all of this this little three-man neo-Nazi ring and trying to say that they have connections with a lot of other neo-Nazis, one of which is currently a leader, a sort of a leadership position in the NPD in one of the states.
No,
there in Germany. Or had been.
A year ago.
And they're doing this because they are after this ability to ban the NPD is what we're basically saying here. And when you look at the whole thing, it's just amazing how.
We'll be right back with more on the Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
NATO's recent deadly air attack on Pakistan has put the U.S. mission in Afghanistan in danger with supplies cut off. Washington may soon have to turn to other transit states to keep its military effort going. Among them is Russia, and as RT's Daniel Chichikan reports, this could mean some well-timed diplomatic leverage for Moscow.
On the way!
Supplies are what keep a war running. NATO actions have put all operations in Afghanistan in danger. After an attack that killed 24 Pakistani soldiers, Islamabad cut off one of the alliance's major supply routes to Afghanistan.
I would like to extend my most sincere condolences.
But for Pakistan, Washington's condolences were not enough.
The repeated incursions by the U.S. military in Pakistan really left no choice, and also the humiliation that the Pakistani military faced in front of its own soldiers and the Pakistani people left no choice before the government this time but to cut off the supply line.
With relations between the U.S. and Pakistan as unstable as ever, in order to keep the war in Afghanistan running, NATO relies more on its other major supply route, coming from the north.
Here it is, the Northern Distribution Network. You see all these blue lines? And here is the route that Pakistan shut down. Now, the Northern Supply Network was started when Russia agreed to provide its territory and airspace for transit of non-lethal supplies to NATO troops in Afghanistan. It proved to be a very reliable route, more reliable than Pakistan. Now it accounts for half of NATO's non-lethal supplies. On trucks, railroads, and by air, supplies travel through Russian territory from Europe and from Russia's Far East all the way to Afghanistan. And the reliance on this route is set to expand.
In the last 3 years, Russia's cooperation on Afghanistan has been key to NATO operations there. I sat down with Professor Michael Vlahos, who stressed he was speaking in a personal capacity.
So, the U.S. has a very tenuous kind of placement in Afghanistan, and it is highly vulnerable. It's highly vulnerable to Pakistanis, but it's more vulnerable now to Russia. I mean, if Russia were to withdraw its permission for us to use its rail lines, we would be in a very difficult position in Afghanistan.
The Northern Supply Network could now be in danger because of a failure in diplomacy. Moscow says because Washington turned down all of its proposals on the missile defense issue, Russia might have to resort to other arguments, including its cooperation with NATO on Afghanistan.
There are processes which are critically important for Russia, which are about Russia's national security. One of them is NATO expansion into Russian borders. And the fact.
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com. And now here's Carolyn.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am here with Gunter Deckert from Germany. It's 3:30 where I am now in the afternoon. We're doing an afternoon live broadcast today, and it is 10:30 p.m. for Gunter. So he will be here until it's midnight for him, as we will take calls in the second hour, 1/2 hour from now. And if you have any questions that you want to ask or any comments that you think are important, you can call in then. Now, we have gotten as far as to explaining the reason for this attack on the right wing and this building up of this Zwickau neo-Nazi terror cell, which we both agree is a frame up. It's a kind of a frame up. And there's a lot of information about the earlier. Is your phone going? About earlier. Let's see. Earlier ideas that the investigators and the police and so on had, prosecutors in Germany, about these murders of these Turks, which took place over a 6-year period. Six or seven of them, one Greek. And they were, I can say a few things about that, but I'm going to let you talk about it because you're here for that reason. And so what are some of the theories that, what are some of the things that we can believe about what really, who really killed these Turks and this Greek man?
Yes, about half a year ago, or 6 months ago, the leading magazine, The Spiegel, stating that based on information they got from Turkish investigation offices, that all those murders had to do with the drug traffic, with a kind of special Oriental mafia. That was what The Spiegel published, let's say, in February of this year. But now he doesn't want to hear anything about his first statement concerning these murders of Turks and Greeks. And everything is concentrated on this Zwickau group. I said the group of three, two men in their mid-30s and one woman in their mid-30s. And they even tried to find out or to make out more crimes and deeds having committed by these three. Let's say 3 days ago on TV there was news stating that they even had committed a bomb attack in Saarbrücken. Saarbrücken. And then any crime not yet solved up to the present is more or less concentrated on this group of three. Every crime, murder, bank robbery and things like that, may be, well, it's possible that these three had committed these crimes. It's speculation. I would say it's absurd, but it fits very well in the actual atmosphere of camouflaging, of concentrating, and of getting people away from the main crisis Germany and Europe is confronted with.
They say that in this article in January, in Der Spiegel, that eight Turks and Greeks were shot with the same weapon. Are they sure that this is the same weapon? Now, this was over a period of years. Is it the same type of weapon or exactly the same weapon? It's a Czech
pistol. I'm not an expert. But it's very strange that, when the two men, young men, were caught, they hadn't been caught by police. They had robbed a bank in Eisenach, which is on the Hessian-Thuringian border. And then they went away in a camping car. And there's no reason why the two, armed with pistols, a machine gun, and even grenades, committed suicide. And more than some time later, her lady companion, well, tried to explode the common apartment. And the police and the fire brigade finding, well, weapons, videos, which is crazy. Huh? Mm-hmm. You've got a fire, an explosion, and they find all those, well, proofs, yeah, stating now these three have committed that, but the only person who knows a bit is the young lady who up to the present doesn't say a word. And
this has great similarities to 9/11. How they have lied about everything, not only the government, but the FBI, you know, the investigating agencies. Yes. The media, every part of it has played their role in this, and they've told all sorts of lies, and they've planted evidence. They planted all that stuff that they found, you know, they found passports and so on floating down, or identification floating out of the buildings that were exploded. I mean, all of this nonsense. So why would we just fall for, even now today, I've talked to Germans who say, oh, no, they know this trio did this. Oh, they've got all the evidence. They've got all the proof.
No.
Why would we believe what they're telling us? I mean, it's so easy to do it. And here's something that I came up with after reading all these things that you sent me today, that there is clearly a big Turkish, a right-wing nationalist, powerful kind of a crime group in Germany. They exist through drug trafficking and money laundering and so on, laundering their drug money and so on. And they could very well have gotten these right-wing German kids, young guys, to work with them to commit some crimes.
Possible.
For them, because they, maybe they're saying, we're right wing too. We want to take over Turkey and get back there. And, you know, they may have had their nationalist sympathies together. It's very possible that they were they were getting paid, or they were doing some of this.
Yes,
certainly they wouldn't have been getting away with this all on their own, like you said. It's not possible they could have gotten away all this time.
Yes, it's 13 years. I must figure out 13 years. And apart from that, if they had acted out of a hatred against foreigners, why kill more unknown people, people on the street? Mm-hmm. Why not have tried to shot, let's say, more important figures of those foreign association? There are several ones, the Grey Wolves, the D-Keeper, a lot of several organizations. Why are you not having tried to have shot an important Jew boss?
That's right.
And, why not have shot to try to take a member of the parliament, Berlin, of the provincial ones? Nothing of that kind. Why not try to have shot a prosecutor, an important one? The Red Army fraction tried to kill bankers, politicians, trade unions, important people of the system. And after that, they said, well, as the Taliban did, we committed that crime. We murdered. Nothing of the kind, but the two are dead, and now this we kill. It's not understandable, their reaction. And even some people, they have been paid killers. They put it, killers paid for that, because it was not known before that they had committed more than 20 bank robberies. I didn't know that for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense we talked about. It's absurd, and it's still a riddle not yet solved.
Yeah, well, these victims were all store owners or shop owners,
yes,
mostly.
But, small ones.
But you know, I think that
there's a reason that they call.
This big Turkish nationalist crime gang.
Yes.
They were like a mafia demanding money and so on from all these Turks, and they expected certain things from them, and some of them didn't want to do it, and so they were killed, just as examples, just like
that
in the mafia.
Let's say the opinion, or that was the results of, let's say, the police work up to 6 months ago.
Yeah, up to even closer than that.
Yes.
Because
yes.
now
yes.
they suddenly,
yes. 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 Yes.
They've suddenly got hold of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And now they're changing the story all around and they're suppressing a lot of evidence.
And even now, what you I sent you this morning, what I've sent you this morning is there are maybe international connections. I'm not quite sure if the sources I sent you are to be regarded as very, very serious. Yes. No things I face, I don't know what to think of that. It's, I would say, it's up to me, it's for me really absurd. It's an absurdity, it's nonsense what is printed in the papers, but they try to make out of this trio, this group of three, well, a Nazis terrorist network, and saying that all those crimes not yet solved had been committed by these three, which is impossible. They are not very intelligent people. They were not what they call logistics behind. The police, the secret police, knew where they were and didn't try to lay hand on them. And there are even people of the undercover police who sometimes were present when some crimes had been committed. Strange, strange, strange.
Well, the thing is that, as you say, it's all absurd to you, and you can see through the absurdity right away. But it's so unfortunate that people are fooled by this, or they want to be fooled. I don't know. Do you have any sense of what the German people, how they're really reacting to this? They're playing this up internationally. You know, around the world, we all say, oh, look at these Nazis in Germany. Yes, they better go ahead and ban that party. Because look at they're terrorists. This is the foolish people around the world might believe this, and
yes.
therefore not get upset when Germany's acting not like a democratic country. But what about the people in Germany? Do they fall for this?
It's very, very difficult to say.
Well, but what about people? What about in your own family? I mean, do they know better or what?
Even my daughter, my wife, don't believe what they see, what they hear, and what they watch on TV.
Yeah.
They say a lot of things don't match, don't fit together. That's one thing. That is strange, not understandable. For example, those two young men, very, 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 very well, good, let's say, represented or described as cool murderers. Murderers, yeah? Now,
yeah.
Caught, or only a police car approaches, they commit suicide. Instead of shooting their way free, killing as many as possible, a policeman as possible. No, that's one fact. And then, sometime after, well, this crime, and nothing does fit together very, very well. Normal people don't believe. But those voices are not heard, are not printed.
Well, that's right.
What is printed
right.
And what is listened to are those, well, public loudspeakers, party spokesmen, president spokesmen or spokeswomen of all those associations, be it the churches, be it the immigrants, be it the Jews and things like that, as a kind of chorus saying, well, Nazis, Nazi terror. We must get rid of them. We must ban the NPD, which is more or less the spirit director, which is more inspiring, which is the soil on what all those terror network is growing. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
But this made
well,
purpose.
Well, good. Let me ask you this. Another thing is about where these two young men were, how they were shot. I thought that at one point I read, and maybe probably in Der Spiegel, because that's where I was reading it all in the beginning, that one of them shot the other one in the head, and then he shot himself in his mouth. Or am I imagining something? But now I've read that that the one was shot in the chest, and the other one was riddled with bullets. Do you know what is the truth of that?
At first, I think it was only one in the news that a third person was with the two and had left the van before bullets or shots were heard. But they had shot themselves with rifles. Crazy. Why not take pistols?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And why not? There's an interview in a German weekly conservative one saying of, let's say, a comrade, same age, who had known them in the 90s when they fought for the Thüringer Heimatschutz, that is, the home security service of Thüringen. And I can't understand. If they hate it, well, the system, the representatives of the system, why not shoot, as I put it, their way free and die, let's say, with shots from policemen, undercover agents,
yeah,
and die as heroes, as martyrs of the National Socialist Underground. No, they committed, not forced to commit suicide. And even before they had proved a kind, they had acted with cold blood. They are as cold-blooded or ice-cold killers. It's
yeah,
not understandable that those two people,
no,
not forced to commit suicide, commit suicide.
Well, you're
and
right.
At the same time, the young lady tries to blow up the apartment that he lived in, and by chance, they find some videos for the pistol in question. They even were said, but not only repeated not many times, that even had legal papers only had people working for the Secret Service in Germany. Then they got a special identity, a new identity, which is only made for people working, cooperating with the civil, with the Secret Service. What do you call
right,
the Verfassungsschutz, the Protection Service of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Strange, crazy, understandable facts, but the media repeat all day long. And
yeah, well, that's it. At first I was questioning. I wasn't sure. It's hard for me to get all the information because so
yeah,
much of it is not in the main, what they print in English. So,
yeah,
but now, I mean, I'm just absolutely convinced this is just a big frame up. And it's so shameful. We'll get back to the NPD and why they want to ban it. But I want to mention this Monopoly game. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Gary, one aspect as well. I just opened the window with the information I got in. Maybe you have heard of Gladio. It's
yes, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, Gladio.
Exactly.
That was a while back.
Now,
quite a few years ago.
Yes, right you are. It was a secret movement, association, but I think that. And some, let's say, conservative or right-wing papers association try to get more information concerning these three people, and they remind of events that had taken place years ago and giving the idea that these three were only part of, well, let's say maybe a mafia-like part, a network, and they have been only used to act in a way people behind them want them to act. I don't know. That is the Gladio aspect, that is, even if you go by Wikipedia, they are getting some more facts, but my mind is not yet made up. It's impossible based on the facts I know, but based on the information, not facts, if I may know. As I put it before, I think a lot of things don't match, don't fit together. In German, passen nicht zusammen. And people say, well, it's impossible they have acted like that. Why do we find videos in an apartment that had been set in, had exploded? But the fire, even one of the fire brigade of two said, I can't understand that the videos are intact. They are not, had not been, had no damage. They had not burned, not blown away, and things like that. Well, to finish.
They're not very good videos either. I mean,
yeah,
just
yeah,
like in 9/11, they're sort of,
yeah,
they're
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of stupid.
Right. And now, 2 days ago, maybe the video had been loaded down, and a Turkish, yes, a mosque in Saarbrücken or near Saarbrücken had got one. And the first video sent was the leftist, the Communist Party in Saxony. Strange.
Well, see now, why is all this allowed? when you are charged with some kind of a crime against the Constitution for helping to translate or, you know, a book, which there's no copies that they can find, you know, and yet this stuff is given out and the people are using it and they're not getting it. This can incite the public, too.
Yeah.
This is public incitement, all this baloney against right-wing people. But they have no rights, of course. We know that.
Yeah, that's
but what about this Monopoly game? Do you think – now, it is called it's in German. It's based on Monopoly, but it's called Pogromly.
Yes.
And they actually say that these two guys and this woman, they created it. They manufactured it. They were selling it.
It's the first time I've heard of it. And that is quite strange, too, because I've got a lot of contacts into the right-wing, in the right-wing scene, as they call it, in the right-wing movements and groups. I've never heard of that before, and the right-wingers are a bit of talkative. Yes. I'm proud of what I have done. Look, here, listen, that it's me. Nobody has heard that before. It's made. Maybe, and even I would say, as to their intelligence, I can't figure out it has been, let's say, produced, created, made by them. Impossible.
No, it's very professional. It's yes. like, you know, a game
yes.
company would
yes,
put
yes.
out. I mean,
and
it's yes, beautiful
yes,
as far
yes,
as its,
yes.
its
and,
quality.
And that is why I think the three have been impossible, have not been able to produce
no,
great things like
no.
that.
This is somebody made this sometime.
Yes,
they've been holding on to it, and now they're pulling it out here. This, I think, might be their downfall, because this is so ridiculous that they're actually saying that they actually invented this game. And how did they get it produced in Germany? You know, when you can't even get books printed, how did they get this game produced without it being reported?
Maybe
and
abroad,
then how did they sell
maybe
it?
In Eastern Europe, but not too intelligent right-wingers, normal young lads, who like to listen to a special kind of music, which is not my taste, with the question of age, quite sure, haven't heard of that. Because when there are these concerts, oil concerts, skinhead concerts, skinhead music, and that would be the best place to sell copies of that. That would be a kind of runner. You see, if had about 100, it's quickly sold out. But no, and it now, when the two are dead, the most two, well, that appears all of a sudden. That is known, is publicly made known, and then when I start to doubt, and before I think doubt, try to get more information. So far, some information is blocked, some is published, and normal people, we don't understand anymore, and they get rid of it.
For our listeners, they might want to Google this and see a picture of this game, because they may have never heard of it. Pogromly, Pogromly, and it looks like a Monopoly game, only it's all Nazi, and they got SS symbols and death's heads, and there's a picture of Hitler, and you go, you know, you play on the board, and you go to concentration camps and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny.
Karen, there's one point I didn't tell you so far. It's in Latin, cui bono, which group, which persons will take profit of that, will have any advantage of that. That is not the nationalist, nor any right-wing movement, is the contrary. Yes. It's what we call contraproductiv. It's against the policies, it's against the tactics of all right-wing groups. They want to be accepted by the normal Germans. They want to be friends of the normal German people. And in creating that, they say, with these idiots, no policy is possible.
Well, and that's how they do it. They try to paint them, and that's why they have infiltrators, to make them act
yes.
in a bizarre and terrible way that everybody dislikes and is distasteful,
yeah.
and
the
make
only,
it appear that that's what right-wingers are.
Groups that profit of that are the leftists, are the communists.
That's right.
The qui bono, if you want this, if they had really planned that this group of three, which is called a fraction, army fraction, which is crazy, you know, it's just the contrary of what they might have waited for or awaited. It's not understandable in acting like that and to start maybe a revolution. A group of three can't start a revolution, can't create a public uproar to march to Berlin, to seize all politicians, and to take over the power as the people did in Egypt or in Libya.
We'll be right back with more on the Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
Here on the forum, we bring together some of the world's most interesting people and their brightest ideas. So if you enjoy stimulating discussion, join me, Bridget Kendall, every weekend for the forum.
This is the BBC in Naples,
Tel Aviv,
Perth,
Accra.
Wherever you are, you're with the BBC.
BBC World Service at 22 hours GMT. This is Oliver Conway with World Briefing. Coming up, the leaders of France and Germany announced joint proposals for tougher budget controls on the Eurozone.
Our desire is to go on a forced march and re-establish confidence in the euro.
We're open to change the treaties for all 27. That would be the most logical thing.
But in the past few minutes, 15 eurozone nations, including France and Germany, are warned they could have their credit rating downgraded. Also today...
Tonight, several thousand protesters gathered in the centre of Moscow. They demanded honest elections and shouted down with Putin.
The Russian Prime Minister is under pressure as he loses support at the polls, and NASA says it's found the first planet outside our solar system where there could be water in liquid form. First, an update from the newsroom.
BBC News with Julie Candler. The leaders of France and Germany have reached agreement on tougher budgetary controls to try to ease the eurozone crisis. Nicolas Sarkozy and Angela Merkel set reforms to strengthen the rules in the eurozone. Christian Fraser reports from Paris.
The two leaders said they were on a forced march to a new treaty that would restore confidence in the eurozone and in the future will mean automatic penalties for those eurozone governments that break deficit rules. The changes will be enshrined in a modified EU treaty, ideally for all 27 countries, or a new treaty for the 17 eurozone members. The European Court of Justice will have oversight, not on the budgets themselves, but on new legislation that will be adopted by each member state, limiting their budget deficits.
Some news just in, the US ratings agency Standard & Poor's has warned 15 eurozone countries that their credit rating could be downgraded. They include top-rated nations such as Germany and France. There's a 50% chance of a downgrade from the agency. Several thousand protesters have demonstrated in the centre of Moscow demanding honest elections after international observers in Russia's parliamentary elections said the vote was slanted in favour of Prime Minister Vladimir Putin's party, United Russia. A series of bomb attacks have targeted Shia pilgrims in Iraq, killing more than 25 people. Three roadside bombs hit pilgrims in Baghdad and a car.
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com. And now here's Carolyn.
Welcome back, listeners. I am Carolyn, and my guest today is Gunter Deckert. We're having an early show today because of the time difference between U.S. and Germany, and we wanted to do a live show today. So now we're at our call-in hour, and you may call 1-855-477-2283 if you'd like to get on the line with us and talk to Gunter or ask him anything. So, Gunter, we were talking about the NPD and the new head. I don't know if it's called a president, what he's called, Holger Apfel. And my question is, is there any hope for him to do a better job, or what will he be able to do in the face of this, what seems to me, very serious decision now, an attempt to ban the NPD and similar parties, I guess. They seem to be pretty serious about it, using this Zwickau affair that we were just talking about.
That's a bit difficult. Zwickau, Zwickau, yes.
Yeah, even though I've learned it, now I'm saying
Yes. Gets very famous now, that small town in West Saxony. Yeah. Well, I think that Holger Apfel was elected the new president of the NPD because his predecessor and his comrades in the committee had made big mistakes. So Apfel was part of that committee. Namely, they have to pay back to the Bundestag, the office of the Bundestag in Berlin, about 5 million Deutschmark or 2.5 million euros, because the financial balance at the end of a year, and it happened twice, was wrong. And thus
that's a lot of money. Did they? Honest mistake, or is somebody?
No, it is quite normal. If something is wrong in the financial balance of any party, they will be fined double the sum. For example, the balance is wrong, let's say, of 1 million euros, you are fined 2 million. The Liberal Party has to pay back about 3 million euros. Same problem. But it's a shame that you know that how the system or those who are responsible of goes through those balances are forced to look not only twice, but a dozen of times if they can find an error, be it only an additional one. And if they go through that, and it was twice, so that it had been tested by, say, an agency of specialists, the balance was wrong. And the wrong sum was about 1,300,000 and 1,000,000, I think, 600,000. And therefore, double sum makes up a sum to pay back of 5 million euros. Of 2.5 million euros and 5 million Deutschmarks. As an older man, I always like to count in German Deutschmarks, because I get a better idea how much money is behind such a sum. And 5 million Deutschmarks at my time in the 90s was a very large sum of money. Mm-hmm. I think, and that is why Apfel succeeded in being elected. So he was part of the same committee of the party. And there's another, maybe he's very ambitious, sometimes very arrogant, and there was a decision of the so-called High Constitutional Court concerning the European elections, that the 5% clause had been suppressed, and by the next election, the NPD may have one or two members elected to the European Parliament, which means a lot of money. And inside the party, there are groups. Sure, the party is not of one block of stone. It's not rock. There are different mentalities, different areas they come from. Vogt Rhineland, up Hanover, and it's like in a, let's say, in a football club. They are fractions. And
factions, yeah.
Yes, yes, and factions, yeah, yeah. In German, it's fractions, you say factions. Mm-hmm. And as Vogt, as the number one, was regarded as responsible of those debts to or that money to pay back, he got the chance to be elected. But he will be confronted with the same problems as the Vogt committee or the party committee before. That is one time a possible ban. That is one way party is regarded as an outlaw party, as a fringe, the party of lunatic, of the lunatic fringe and things like that. And it depends now what kind of policy he will bring into the public. It seems that his faction wants what you, what we call here in Germany, Kreideessen, to eat chalk. That is, say, his slogans, the points presented to the public, will be less clear, will be nearer to the mainstream in Germany. And that is possible that they will attract some voters from the so-called middle of the population. But at the same time, it's possible that, let's say, normal nationalists or convinced nationalists won't will not be any longer willing to vote for the party. It's a crucial way he tries to steer as far
as... Well, that sounds very much, I have to interrupt here and tell you, that sounds very much like what other parties are doing in Europe, in France, they're considered to be more successful for that reason, but there's a lot of reason to criticize what they're doing. Would he be going that far, as far as they go?
Was to some extent, yes, but he won't be able to join because those populist parties in France, in Belgium, in the Netherlands, and even in Austria won't accept any, let's say, won't accept any cooperation with even an NPD with Holger Apfel as president. But they think if we, yes, have, if we will wear new clothes, a bit more conservative, not as loud as before, more mainstream. I think, as far as I know, after that party election day, there are now two real factions. You may call them the moderate ones and the old nationalist ones. And it depends on, let's say, the outcome of the a possible ban or the outcome of the next elections, which faction might be more important or larger, and we will have a new president in 2 years' time. Nobody knows so far. It's
what is your sense of the outcome of this desire from the left, which seems to have a lot of support again now, to ban the NPD? What do you? I think they have a good chance of doing it myself, but I'm not there, so I wouldn't know what you know. And and also, what would happen if that were to take place? Because I was thinking, oh, so what? But then you realize you can't do anything in public. You're completely outlawed. You know, you can't hold meetings. You can't just.
Yeah, it's in some places you can work quite normally. That is in central Germany, the former German Democratic Republic. It's more difficult in the large agglomerations in the west, let's say, areas with a lot of foreigners and very strong trade unions. It depends on the area you're in. But as to the normal elections, the party is able to present candidates, and they've all people being elected in local councils, district councils, and even we have two factions in Pomerania and in Saxonia. That's still possible. But sure.
Even if the party was banned, they could still.
No, so far. Once the party is banned, it's banned.
Yeah. But, no candidates.
Yes, and sure. But the mainstream, propaganda warns at least a new effort to ban the party. But specialists say, while there are problems, they must prove, the government, yeah, must prove that the party actively fights what they call the constituent. And they say that the party says, well, we march to Berlin, we take all our rifles, guns, machine guns, grenades with us, and we will storm the Bundestag. This active fight against the system would be their reason to ban the party. But that one member or two members may have known those three of Zwickau, or may even be involved in a certain period of time, that is no reason to ban it. But it must be undertaken to calm down the public uproar.
Well, what they're saying now is that it's a source of terrorism. They're using this Zwickau to say that the party is a source of terrorism. They're trying to connect these former members, NPD members to this cell and so on.
So far, as only one former leading member of the province of Thuringen who left the party more than 2 years ago, about 2 years ago. But inside the party are still those undercover agents of the system, of the Verfassungsschutz, the service of the constitution, yes? And now, to have or to get a chance that the law court in Karlsruhe will ban the party, all those undercover agents had to be withdrawn, which isn't possible all of a sudden, because the NPD is not a very large party. It's a party one knows one another. And for example, if that's on the level of the Baden-Württemberg, three or four leading party members leave the party, you know?
You know who they are.
sure. And therefore, it takes years. Even if they come out, it will take, I'd say, they said today on the TV news, about up to 4 to 7 years before the party can be banned. But the, let's say, the political establishment is forced is forced by the media, by all those associations, to try a new effort, to try again, to calm down and say, well, we are a democratic state that fights against any kind of terrorism, this time only the right-wing one, which has to prove, still to be proved, that there is a right-wing terrorism or a right-wing terrorist network, which is not quite clear, which is uncertain, which is, in my mind, absurd and which is nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then, it seems that one of the main planks of the NPD is immigration, being against immigration. So now I found this interesting article. It's actually from thepress.com from December 2nd. And it just talks about the Turkish leaders who are visiting Germany and talking to the Turks. And, to my mind, because of the way I see things, it's just so in your face how these Turkish leaders, there's a foreign minister and another minister of the interior, he also came, and they're roaming around, talking to all these different cities to the Turkish people living there and sympathizing with them. And I'll quote a little bit from it, but before I do, they like so many others, they come to Germany or they talk about Germany as though Germans are just should just listen to them. They put Germans down to such an extent, still from the World War II thing. We are so important and you need to do all this. They're demanding what Germany needs to do to protect the Turkish people there. And a lot of them aren't even citizens. And the Germans won't open their mouth about it. The German government will just, yes. It's so disgusting. So this guy comes and he's calling for action by Germany, this Turkish foreign minister, against right-wing violence. And he's talking about errors in the system. And he's calling for decisive action. He says, this is perhaps a golden opportunity to take stock so something like this never again is repeated. And he was speaking before hundreds of people of Turkish origin in Munich. You know, I would like to see a German minister go to any place, let alone not just to Turkey. There's probably not too many Germans there. And give speeches and demand that these countries protect the Germans that are living there. That's the last thing they would ever do, because they don't. German government people will never speak up for Germans around the world or even in their own country. And he says that the families have the full support of Turkey, these Turkish families. And I think the families he's talking about are the families of these Turks that were killed, which nobody made too much of a deal about. But now suddenly they're kind of like heroes. And he says that he calls them heroes. He spoke of them as heroes who for years had and these families had to deal with all this loss in silence. But now they're. Oh, but then he says, but in part, he says they have to deal with not only their loss, but also to live with serious allegations. And I think what this means is these serious allegations are allegations that these men were drug traffickers, that these men were involved in crime in one way or another. And now they're playing that down. You know, that's why they were involved in these murders. Now they're playing that down because they're making them victims of neo-Nazi hate instead of, you know, the way they were thinking about it. So, I find this very, in the end, Bavarian State Parliament President Barbara Stamm promised to do everything to ensure that such crimes do not occur again. One step, she said, was to ban to have a strict ban on the far right NPD party. And then it says that this Turkish minister was several days in Germany, visited the relatives of the victims of these six Turks in Hamburg and Hesse, and from there he's going to go to Cologne and Berlin and visit all the families, and then just like with 9/11. And then it says that the interior minister came too, and he's going to visit Turkish facilities in Cologne, Duisburg, and Hamm, and then he's going to go to Hürth. But it also said that he's going to visit the site of a new Cologne Central Mosque on the, in Cologne. It's easy to see how such provocation turns a number of brave national patriots toward resistance when you have people like these Turkish ministers coming around and acting like they own the country and they're checking out the new mosques that are being built and so on. I mean, it's what they call terrorism, even if it were occurring, is a self-defense. It's a resistance against what is going on to the national sense of Germany. And now the euro affair is just increasing that all the more.
Yes, it can be explained by the special situation Germany is confronted with, that foreigners are well welcomed in a way which isn't worth of a proud nation, which is not in the sense of a proud nation. Mm-hmm. But everything is done to calm things down. But in my mind, it's not too bad that this Turkish ministers come to Germany, because based on the very large presentation in the news, TV, radio, and the printed media, the German realize how many Turks live here, and Turks who don't want to become German citizens, even if they got a German passport. And it's the same with now the African people coming from Libya seeking for asylum and we must welcome them because they are loners. Even if I'm against and I have fought have been fighting for more than 30 years the immigration policy of the establishment, there's no need of shooting unknown merchants or businessmen, be Turks or Greeks. If somebody will stop what he realizes that it's catastrophic to Germany. He should have shot those responsible for the policy of immigration. The politicians, the big men in the business, the capitalists, but they haven't done that. And it had been easy, it's no problem, to shoot a leading politician in Bavaria. Not everybody has a dozen bodyguards to protect him or her. But that hasn't been done. There is no video, no statement by the three that they wanted to fight immigration by killing, well, by then, unimportant, unknown people, normal people. Not those businessmen are responsible of the situation. Responsible are the politicians allowing such a policy of not controlled immigration and even saying, yes, yes, if they are more or less, I would say, attacked by foreign governments, even they are asked in a very, very intensive way to accept more and more asylum seekers and more people from all over the world. It's understandable that in a small village, at the beer festival or be it another festival, that there are clashes between foreigners or riots clashes between foreigners and German people. If there's a dance, a beer festival, and they, well, try to throw them out, which happened a lot of times in some Germany, that is another aspect. But it's not a policy in the sense of the nationalist to kill, I would say, unimportant foreigners. There would have been a sense if they wanted to make clear that there is a strong movement against immigration, they should have shot leading politicians of the Social Democratics, Christian Union, the Liberals, and the Green Party. That would have been some effect. When all the laws made the policy of entering Germany has not been made by normal Turks, small Turks, but by the politicians in Berlin. And this behavior against foreign politicians is more or less a reaction of having lost the war. Politicians who try to stand up and to fight that policy are outlawed as well. That the example of this member of the parliament, Hohmann, a lawyer, and even a former judge, having said something about the role of the Jews in the communist revolution, while he was fired out of his party. It is this strange behavior. It's only to be explained by the lost war. It's a kind
of... How long is this war? How long are we going to have to live with this? And I think it's forever.
Yes, forever. That is a problem. And a lot of people have, said, if we accept, if you ask people or discuss, in normal people in a pub or in a guest house on a pension or in the street or whatever a sports station meets, you get other answers. But they are not courageous enough to speak out and to stand up because they know all of a sudden, the media will attack you, will get on you. You are the Nazi, you are the outlaw, you are responsible for, and a foreigner can't understand this special intellectual climate which we are living in for years. We have been living for years, and as long as there's no political change, where the word change is correct, a change meaning another situation, another policy, we will have the same intellectual climate, and in the long run, that would be, as we'll see with the euro, I think the end of the German sovereign state.
Well, I think so too, unfortunately. This, we talk about political change, the change will go, is going in that direction. They are able to bring these things about through these financial crises. They've been doing it for quite a while now. They certainly have been doing it in the United States. And we went along with it. Was it 2008? There was 2007. There was 2008. There were earlier things. There was 1996 or something when we had a big crisis. Through this way, we get scared to death. I have finally gotten myself out of that. But, yeah, you know, I remember, I also thought, oh no, everything will. And then these alternative radio and alternative people, I think they're also on the payroll of the politicians, and they play this up. Oh, we're going to have disaster. Oh, we're going to have, blood in the streets. So we're going to have all these minorities are going to come up, and people want to put that off. So they think, well, if they fix this financial crisis, that will be put off for a while and we can try to figure out what to do. So we just keep going along with these, with losing more and more because,
We'll be right back with more on The Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
There's no evidence to justify the humanitarian war in Libya. That's the conclusion of filmmaker and independent journalist Julian Tai.
The beginning of this story, we got some allegation which has been allocated and said to the United Nations Human Rights Council. And those allegations have never been verified or checked. And this has been used also as material for the ICC case against Libya.
On March 17, UN Security Council Resolution 1973 was passed, imposing a no-fly zone over Libya. Accusations were that Gaddafi bombed his own people from air and land, used foreign mercenaries, ordered the use of rape as a weapon, and killed by the thousands.
I can't prove that there was no bombing. All I know is that there is no evidence of bombing. And so I interviewed the man who went to the United Nations Human Rights Council, who is Slimane Bouchrigir.
Slimane Bouchrigir was the former Secretary General of the Libyan League for Human Rights, now the Libyan ambassador to Bern in Switzerland. On February 25, he went to the UN Human Rights Council to present his organization's allegations of crimes against Gaddafi's government. In that session, a decision was taken to freeze Libya's membership in the council. He underlined the number of deaths, 6,000, including 3,000 in Tripoli alone. When Julian asked Bouchrigir how these claims can be verified, he pointed to the former rebels, now Libya's government, as his source.
I got that information from the Libyan Prime Minister, but Mr. Mahmoud, or the Wafala tribe, who's on the other side of the National Transitional Council, was the one who gave me these numbers.
About the number of people killed, can you give us any evidence?
There is no evidence. What I can tell you is that there are no documents.
Yet there are still those who defend the Libyan intervention, like this former French intelligence officer.
It is very likely that some crimes attributed to Gaddafi in this conflict were false or exaggerated. But we had all the record of Gaddafi for 40 years. And Gaddafi was a terrorist, was a criminal.
On June 27, International Criminal Court prosecutor Luis Ocampo Moreno's request for arrest warrants for Muammar Gaddafi, Saif al-Islam, and Gaddafi's intelligence chief was granted. Julian went through the pages of the arrest warrant application, most of which were redacted. But among the pages open to the public were a list of articles to support the case, one of which was Bouchrigir's February 25th speech, the one based on information Bouchrigir himself said he got from the NTC. But those who raised questions risked being accused of taking...
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com. And now here's Carolyn.
Hello again, listeners. I'm here with Gunter Deckert from Germany, and we're ready to take calls from you. If anybody wants to call in, the number is 1-855-477-2283. I think because of our earlier time, we knew that we wouldn't have, we probably would miss a lot of our regular listeners who didn't somehow get the message or could not listen in the afternoon. So, but if anybody wants to call, you're certainly welcome to do so. Now, Gunter, we have brought ourselves very, very nicely to the fiscal crisis in Europe now, and realizing that this is kind of the end game here, I think we've come to. As I was saying before the break, that this is the way it's been working in the United States. It's our going broke that is the debt problems that's causing the government to take over and the bankers and the Federal Reserve to take over more and more power. And now what we have in Europe is this debt crisis, which is leading to calls for what they call fiscal unity. Now all the European, the Eurozone has to engage in a stronger fiscal unity, which means there will be a bank, a central bank, or a European Commission head of all the countries, which will demand that they do certain things and not do other things. And this will take away quite a bit of sovereignty. And they admit it. They say we have to give up our sovereignty. We have to give up our sovereignty so that we can have a strong unification. And as I've talked about in two previous shows, we're trying to unify peoples of Europe that don't unify, that are very different, don't have the same kind of culture and behavioral characteristics. And so it's very difficult. So what there's some meetings coming up this week, in which some of these things are supposedly going to be decided. But Merkel, has called for the introduction of a European debt brake, which means that the amount of debt that Eurozone countries can take on would be strictly regulated, and that they would have legally binding regulations. And she says we have to create a fiscal union. What do you say about that?
Yes, some people even are glad of the actual situation, because what they have dreamt for many years, namely a political union, gets nearer and nearer based on what you called a fiscal unity. You put it right that the European states, being a member of the European Union, are very, very different in manners, in languages, in mentality, pension ages, pensions, discipline in work, and things like that. And as the new Zurich paper, you know, at Zürcher, put it years ago, the euro will exist as long as the Germans are able to pay for it. That's a big problem. Without the German money, no euro, no fiscal unity. And even inside the parties of the Berlin Parliament, I would say quite an important group realizes that with this fiscal union, one decisive step towards a political union, which means the end of a sovereign state, has become a possibility. Some even hope that the German Constitutional Court in Karlsruhe will stop that policy, but all those judges are either party members or politically belong to parties. The actual number one is a member of the Social Democratic Party, and sure he will go or accompany the political way of his party and not judging or, well, in, on the basis of what is called our German constitution, which is a constitution in the little sense. And it depends on the German economy. If Germany is able to pay for all those debts done by other European states, not only the Irish, the Greek, the Italians, now the French ones. And I got a message 2 hours ago by the political magazine Focus stating that an American rating agency is threatening Germany, is threatening to take Germany, the AAA, away.
Oh, which really? Means, which one?
Yes,
which,
yes.
Which
P,
one?
P and S or P and P and R.
S&P.
Yes, S&P, yes. Threatening Germany to take the AAA away, and that means higher interest on the loans of a German state. And even the last effort to sell German papers was not a success. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The international investors say, well, who or the, which state is able to pay for all those debts? More than 1 billion euros, that is 2 billion Deutschmarks, which is 1 billion and I think some hundreds of US dollars. And I hope that this financial crisis or economic crisis will lead Germany out of the euro.
Well, yeah, I do too. What about all those people who say that can't happen, they won't ever let it happen, and they'll do whatever it takes so that it won't happen? How do you feel are the numbers of people on each side of this?
Normal people, well, as far as the Spiegel, Focus, and the Stands are concerned, say at least a large majority wants the Deutschmark back. Normal people.
Yeah.
But in the parliament, these people want the Deutschmark back or a kind of special Eurozone, the northern one, Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, maybe France, Denmark, and Finland.
You know, that's exactly what Adolf Hitler had in mind.
Yes, yes.
And now they're talking about it as only thing that will work. No, I noticed that right away.
Yes,
when they talk about this northern one, and even France is questionable, huh? That's interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
They might not be good enough.
That is, even former people who were in favor of the euro, now either they favor what they call the northern eurozone, well, uh-huh. most populated by Germanic peoples.
Yes.
And or they say, well, let's leave the euro. Better a sudden end with horror than a horror without any end.
Yeah, the horror without any end is what really worries me.
Yes, yes. And there may be, well, the next elections is in 2013, I think. It's not in, yes, in 2013. Maybe decide on the way Germany is going to take. Merkel is in two minds, I would say. On the one side, she's in favor of a kind of Europe. But on the other side, she knows that the Germans realize that it's only up to them to pay for all the debts in Europe, which is impossible.
That's right. Now let me break it here.
And she wants to be re-elected. You see?
Yeah.
If she steers the same course as the Greens and the Socialists are, well, there's no alternative. And that may be the chance of parties, even the NPD, to get more influence in German politics in the years to come.
Well, I don't know. How can it wait until 2013 when they're having these meetings and they're going to make these decisions and it's not up to the voters? I mean, this is what they want to take all of this out of the hands of the voters in every nation, because the voters have always been, a lot of them, dragging their heels and refusing to make it unanimous. And so and then they just have to get rid of the having it go before voters. And so they just want to create these commissions and this big European dictatorship, and then everybody will be forced to do it because their leaders that they elected have gone along with it, have signed on to it.
In policy, there's never, let's say, a final end. You can change. You can even if now Sarkozy and Merkel succeed in creating this special fiscal unity, or if they agree on what they call the euro bonds, special. Oh. And even well,
she,
if they,
she says this, that they won't. She's not. She won't go along with euro bonds yet.
Yes, not yet. But if there's Europe at stake, she will do maybe all things possible. But the people voting in the next in the years to come in the different states of this, let's say, Eurozone, might change the course of politics.
I don't see how the German leaders could have ever accepted, knowing in advance that it was all going to be up to Germany to hold it all together and to be the lender of last resort, really, and which is what they want Germany to be now with these Eurobonds. With Eurobonds, it would be that how they can go along with that, knowing that that's not feasible at all. It's only feasible if the other countries do a good job and behave themselves. But since we see that they haven't,
it's the same problem as I mentioned, or the same, let's say, reason I mentioned before. It's the lost war, the mentality of a nation who had lost two important wars in the last century, and they, we are forced, historically speaking, to do everything. That Germany is, well, a kind of servant, a slave of history, and in accepting that status, is willing to do everything that Germany is part of a greater union where the German voters aren't important anymore. For example, in the European Parliament, Germany has only 99 members of parliament. Altogether, there are 630. The other 500 can do what they want, and Germany has to accept the consequences.
Isn't and Germany so, pays, I read, sure, recently, sure, 54%.
That is, even inside the Eurozone, for example, and even inside now the European Bank at Frankfurt, the Germans are the minority, let's say the people working there, even important a function, and a minority. There are more Italians working there than German bankers. That is crazy. They do everything. We don't want to give the idea that we want to dominate Europe. And also in England, in Griechenland, Merkel is compared to Hitler. What Hitler didn't succeed with his armies, Merkel is doing with the German Deutschmark, or with the German industry.
Well, some more people should be making the point that what they're deciding on now with this northern German, northern Eurozone thing is exactly what Hitler had in mind, and he was going to include all of Europe, not Britain, but it was the Germanic core that was going to be
the
leaders in it. Because they were the ones who were going to be most responsible to see that it kept going. And he was absolutely right.
Yes, it's one possibility that this kind of union might work. I don't know if it is work. Might work.
Well, I'm not for that. I'm not for any of it. But anyway.
Yes, yes.
At this point. Not with these people in charge.
Yeah. But I say the crisis which had not yet reached, there's a debt crisis in Germany. But there's not yet an economic crisis in Germany. Mm-hmm. The German industry, well, is rather strong compared to other industries in Europe or in the Eurozone, even compared to the industry in Great Britain. But nobody knows what will happen in the years to come. We have a special industry. We are strong in the production of cars, car production, but the Asians get stronger and stronger. Red China is producing three times, double the sum of Germany, more than 40 million cars a year. Germany,
you know, that is the reason that a lot of people say there has to be a European Union, and you have to keep the euro, and you have to keep it going in order to compete with China, this and that. And yet Europe as a whole is not competitive. It's just Germany that's being competitive.
No.
So the whole that whole idea is faulty.
That is a lie. For example, Switzerland, at the heart of Central Europe, mm-hmm. is very, very small compared to the smaller Germany of today. Mm-hmm. But the Swiss industry is doing well because people don't buy a product because it is produced in the European Union made in Greece. They buy a product, they realize or they think it's good and that the product is worth the price demanded for it. So Germany is able to compete well with Iran, with China, with Japan, as it did before, with India, as long as the German workers, the German intelligence, the German engineers are okay, are good, are innovative, and as long as the German products are bought worldwide. They're not bought because they are German. They are bought because they are good products and the price is worth it. Mm-hmm. That is not competitive. It is crazy. We had been before the European Union, and the European is, well, tearing us down with mm-hmm. debts
right.
and money to pay. And
that's right.
It's for the generation to come.
And if you want to look at this as a big conspiracy, you know, from the conspiracy theory angle, you can say that it's all been planned in order to basically destroy Germany, destroy Europe, make Europeans servants and serfs to the bankers, and they're going to go around and do it all over the world. It's going on
I
in
do
the United
agree.
States.
I do agree with
and,
that.
And this may be what's really behind it, because otherwise it makes no sense. And we have been complaining for over 100 years why our politicians and our leaders are doing things that make no sense. And they say, oh, they're stupid. Oh, they're not very bright. Well, we need to get some better people in there. That's not because they're stupid.
Yes,
it's
right,
because
you are.
It's, they're doing it on purpose.
I do agree with you. A lot of people ask themselves, where is our money going to?
Mm-hmm.
Who are those who buy our debts, for example, and who ask, let's say, interests? Where are those people? Have they got names? Where do they live? That's right. And a lot of I've been to Sweden 3 weeks ago. The same question is asked there, though Sweden is not part of the European, it's the Eurozone. And Sweden does quite well without being part of the European, member of the Eurozone. Mm-hmm. I think the big capitalists, or we call it, and the big banks, are interested in very large territories, which makes it easier to convert money or to make business. And sovereign states, homogeneous states, Germans, for example, are more or less a hindrance to their way of what they call a world government, which is behind. Mm-hmm. And those who are in favor of the fiscal unity want a European government. And it's a kind of, more as a kind of USS Europe compared to the USSR of the Soviet Union. Huh? It's a, mm-hmm. not, it's not a democratic structure. It's a kind of dictatorship. And
absolutely.
Yes. And I think the protests, even they are against Germany in Athens, in Greece, or be it in Madrid and Spain or anywhere, are right. But they never, as far as I know, they've never realized who are the powers behind. It's not the German government, which is the leading power. And then these are, international groups, bankers, be it now Jews or not Jews. There are even Germans who are, in my mind, bad characters. There are even French bad characters in France, bad characters in England. But this new elite having special interests, making money, and not taking care or not caring for the nations, for the people living in some states, are a group of their own. And by
and
far.
So it can't be that. Would you say that that Merkel is knowingly working for these people, the bankers and so on, or she's just a politician who's in a bind and wants to stay in office? I find that kind of hard to believe, but I find it all basically hard for me to believe.
Well, it's very hard to understand what is going on in Berlin or in Paris. Which forces are behind? Which forces want to have this fiscal unity? I explained that we need the Eurozone. It's not for Europe. At least 10 states are outside the Eurozone. It's not Europe. Well, we need it to export, to have a good living, which is wrong. But as the NATO tried to discipline the German military strengths, now this fiscal unity, in my mind, in my eyes, tries to more or less discipline the German economic strengths, even taking away...
take advantage of them, run them,
yes,
control
take advantage
them.
Of a nation which is very industrious and whose the inhabitants of which are willing to work longer, to work harder, to pay more than, for example, our neighbors in the south of Europe. One example, the Greeks get an old age pension at the age of 60, Germans at 67. Why this difference? Another, for example, a worker in the port of Athens who loads and unloads the containers based on a Spiegel message a year ago has 150,000 euros a year. A sum here in Germany we pay for three grammar school teachers a year. Or in Greece, normal pension is 1,300 euros a month. In Germany, it's under 1,000 euros a month.
Why was that ever allowed to happen when they brought Greece in? You know, now Greece is the worst of all because Greece should never have been allowed in the Eurozone.
It was Goldman and Sachs who had, well, more or less, had prepared a special balance, financial balance, that made it possible for the Greeks to enter the Eurozone. From
That's
the very
true.
Beginning, in Germany it's betrug. It wasn't reality. Goldman Sachs had prepared the balance.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before.
Yes,
what about Merkel though? Does she know what she's doing? I mean, is she doing this? Is she a traitor to the German people? Is she working for bankers, or is she able to believe in what she's doing? That she's somehow trying to do the best.
She doesn't do the best for the Germans, in my mind. I'm sure she's intelligent enough to know what she's going to do. Maybe if she is the thriving factor, or she's only pushed, maybe it's that the two of them. She's in favor of it, and she's pushed, and there are those powers behind. And there's the...
Maybe she isn't that smart. You know, I think a lot of these people are not as intelligent as I imagine that they must be because of their high positions. But you don't have to be so intelligent to get into a high position.
That's right. That's right. Well, she's...
You and I know you're very intelligent, and
yes,
I may even be more intelligent
than
some
she
of
was,
people.
Well, what do you call it, an apparatchik, that is a functionary in the former communist use of Central Germany.
Yeah.
She had a very communist upbringing, and a communist education, and but inside the Christian Democratic Party, there are even different factions, I think. The conservative ones, modernist ones, more liberal ones. But it's the whole atmosphere, it's the whole political climate, intellectual climate, which pushes the parties in a direction of a fiscal unity and of a political union. And the normal people, voters, don't realize what is really going on.
Günther, we're almost to the end. I don't want to cut you off. Let just finish what you'd like to say. I do want to thank you for being on today. I appreciate it very much. And while we didn't have any callers, it was because of our new time, but people will be continuing to listen to it, and they'll probably be sorry they missed being able to call in and talk to you. So what would you like to leave our listeners with? Anything in particular, and what are your plans for the future?
Well, a lot. I want to be active as long as I can to do the best and to work for my country.
Well, and I know that you were just in Sweden giving a talk, and you were in London before that. So you're traveling around. Is there anything that you have to say about that? I don't think there's hardly any time left. There isn't.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Well,
thank you very much.
I wish you the very best. We'll stay in touch and hope you'll be back again. Thank you very
much. Same to you. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night. Goodbye, listeners. Bye. See you next week.
Well, bye.
Thanks for listening. The Heretics Hour returns Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Join us at ReasonRadioNetwork.com.